it's not always flattering, you know. You just turned 40, you're already in a midlife crisis, and then you have me telling you, babe, you're starting perimenopause. It's just like, oh no.
Well, now I'm not going to sleep.
Exactly. It's like, thanks.
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As a naturopathic doctor and anthropologist, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body, balance, and inner badass, these are the themes we are exploring. So it is difficult to be a badass business person rocking it in the real world if you don't get to sleep at night. And while my issues throughout the course of the night are caused by three small people who like to come and visit me, not everyone has the natural gift of being able to sleep anytime, anywhere. And so I can fall asleep at a moment's notice when I don't have people crawling on my face, but I recognize, and I see this clinically, that that is not the case for everybody. My guest today, Christine Hansen, is an expert at getting people to sleep. She is the founder of the business Sleep Like a Boss, and she works with busy people and entrepreneurs to help them be able to achieve sleep and restoration and rebuilding and all the things that happen when you finally get to that special place. Christine and I got totally real on some of the very specific things you need to do to actually get a good night's sleep. We talked about how much you should be sleeping, whether you should or should not be using sleep apps, what you should be feeling in the morning to know that you actually had a successful sleep throughout the evening, and some of the really important tests and different elements of assessment that Christine goes through in her own practice and in working with clients to find out what the cause of their sleep may happen to be. Sleep itself is not a condition. It is a symptom of something else going in the body. And Christine is a detective that helps you uncover what that may be. It is my pleasure to welcome her to the podcast. Everyone, Christine Hansen. Christine Hansen, welcome to the Entrepology Podcast.
Hi, Megan. Thank you so much for having me. I cannot wait to chat with you.
Well, I can't wait to chat with you either, because this is a topic that is relevant to all of us, and it's not something that we've delved into in any great detail, and that is sleep. Christine's company is called Sleep Like a Boss, and that is what I think all of us need. Before we get into sleep, and I've got a million questions for you on that, can you just give us some background? How did you become an expert on sleep? And what is the journey that really got you to this place as an entrepreneur?
Yeah, so it's definitely not a straight journey, as I think most entrepreneurs can testify to. So basically, I've always been a sleep aficionado, meaning that I always known that if I don't sleep enough, I become the Hulk, right? It's just really tragic. I'm tired all day long. And so I've always known that it was a priority for me, but I've always been a good sleeper. So it's not the typical struggle, found the solution kind of journey. But what happened is that I became pregnant, and everyone started to tell me that I would never sleep again. And I would also see people around me becoming zombie mamas. And I was just freaking out. So I was 7 months pregnant, so huge. Everyone was telling me this. And I just decided, no, I'm not going to have it. You know, that's not going to be what I live through. And I just decided I will not accept that as my future. So what I did is I started to research on sleep, and that's how I fell in love with the topic. And my little one, she slept when she was 9 weeks old. So that was awesome. And I started out as a baby sleep consultant first, became an entrepreneur, and turns out I really don't like babies except my own. So that was not my calling in the end. And so I shifted my business after a year from Sleep Like a Baby, which was my first company, to Sleep Like a Boss. And what's interesting about it is that pretty much all the certifications that I did focusing on sleep hygiene, clean sleep. So sleep habits, no blue light, a little, no sugary drinks, no caffeine and things like that. Also giving a couple of tips of, you know, how to meditate, what kind of yoga would be nice and so forth. But it wasn't enough for me because I knew that the people who reached out to me, they already did all of these things. So I knew that I wanted to dig deeper. And that's why I added a lot of diplomas to my background. So I added functional diagnostics, I added nutritional therapy, I added also aromatherapy, coaching, all kinds of different things over the last 2 years. And so now it kind of works really well. So what I do now is that I really look at similar markers that you do, you know, like hormones, sensitivities and the gut mainly, and I connect the mind, right? So I do a lot of resilience training with my clients, and I've always been good at coaching naturally. It's just something that I do. I can see very quickly when someone is bullshitting themselves and tell them in a very blunt, honest, and still endearing way that what they're telling themselves is just crap. And so we have a lot of success, and sometimes, you know, and it for me, it's important that these two things are combined, because it's the way that I see it is sleep is not one thing, right? If you have something with an organ, let's say your liver or your kidney, it's very specific, but sleep, it's one of the only things that is directly, super directly impacted by our physiology, our hormones, our chemistry, all of these things, and our psychology, right? It's so close because it's also responsible for all of these things. So it's really, really imperial to me that we look at the thing holistically, and that's what I do. And I find that it's unfortunately, or fortunately for me, business-wise, it's pretty unique. Most people are either very focused on the physiology, and if you don't have a sleep disorder, tough luck. Or it's just psychology, and sometimes that's not enough if you have inflammation going on at night, right? So that's how I kind of found my niche and what I do now.
Well, and I love that you said that, you know, if you don't have sleep apnea, then you don't have a sleep problem as far as the traditional system seems to be concerned. I have patients who go for sleep studies all the time, and it's a black or white. Mm-hmm. It's like, that must be the only cause of people's yeah. sleep disturbances. And the reality is that's just the only traditional way of managing sleep yes. issues outside of medication. So, you know, I think it's important that you said that, because right out of the gate, what we're doing is just dispelling this belief that there's a single cause for why people can't sleep. And as a clinician, I really view lack of an inability to sleep as a symptom, as opposed to a condition in and of itself. So, mm-hmm. and I suspect that you're looking at your clients the same way, from a very holistic perspective. So where do you start when you're working with someone? Because you already alluded to this, these people are coming in to see you and they're like, I have seen everyone. I have tried mm-hmm. everything. I've tried every botanical. Mm-hmm. I've chewed a bottle of melatonin, right? Yes. I have like lavender growing in my bedroom. Like, they've tried all the stuff. And the last thing they want to do is hear you reiterate it. So where do you start with people when they've tried it all?
It's always, I love when they come to me like that. Well, it's not, because they're heartbroken, really. But it always makes me laugh, especially when they say, well, I had all the tests done and everything is fine. So the first thing that I always tell them is, well, do you feel fine? And when obviously they don't, and then I tell them, you're not fine and you're not crazy either. So whenever someone contacts me, the first thing is obviously I ask them about their sleep history. And in the end, what all of them have in common is that they had a prolonged period of stress at some point, most of the time. Having that prolonged stress time, our resilience is very, very personal. It's individual. So for me, I really explain to them that at some point their body just was tipped over the edge and it doesn't manage to get back into balance on its own, and that we are looking at the different building sites and helping them all together until the body can deal with it on its own again. And that makes sense to everyone, right? So what I do is, when someone comes in, I explain that to them. And then when they agree to get started, all of my clients have lab tests included. So all of them have the Dutch test included, which is a hormone test. They have a detailed thyroid panel included so that I can look at TSH, T4, T3, and also reverse T3 and antibodies. All of them get a food sensitivity panel, and all of them get, what am I forgetting, a heavy metal, a hair mineral analysis done too. And those are the things that I find, when you get those back on track, sleep is just popping back into place usually. And the other 50% of my sessions are the people, right? So I ask them, what is trotting through your head when you go to sleep? What are the scenarios? And then we find solution of how they can start during the day preemptively to deal with those issues, because very often it's triggers that weren't dealt with during the day. And it's like a bottleneck effect. They are just waiting to be acknowledged and to have their time to shine, so to say, right? So a lot of it is personalized kind of training or methods that they can use during the day to digest that preemptively. And that works really, really well. And in the end, you have basically a cleanup of the body and also of the soul, in essence, because what I teach them is who they actually are. Who are they? What are their thoughts and what are not their thoughts? Because if it's not theirs, they don't have to care. It doesn't matter. And that is just eliminating so much stress, so much worry. And it's not to say that they don't care about anything, but the prioritization progress is a completely different one and it gives them a lot of freedom. So it's really never just sleep. It's always a life-changing experience. And I could call myself a health coach in general, because what I do is what every health practitioner who thinks holistically does. The only difference is that I niched on sleep and that people think it is just sleep, but it's never just sleep.
It never is. And I'm curious, you mentioned the Dutch test. We use the Dutch test in our office. And for those of you who are like, I don't know what these two women are talking about, the Dutch test is just a really fabulous, comprehensive hormone analysis where we look at urine and urine metabolites of active sex hormones, essentially. And what it does is it paints a picture for us as a clinician. So we're not just looking at one value. We're looking at all of these things in context and the ratios between these different outcomes. So that's what the Dutch test does for us as clinicians. I'm curious what sort of patterns you're seeing on the Dutch test and with hormones in general when people are having dysregulation with sleep, women in particular.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's very individual. But what I find is that a lot of women twofold. They either have way too much estrogen, way too much, and that is obviously having a trickle effect on all the other things as well. So that is something that is very, very common, or the opposite. It's like the main culprit, if we can call it that way, is always estrogen. So another phenomenon that I see is that women enter perimenopause a lot quicker than they think. So that they are estrogen deprived, actually. So it's not always flattering. You know, you just turned 40, you're already in a midlife crisis, and then you have me telling you, babe, you're starting perimenopause. It's just like, oh no. But it's
well, now I'm not going to sleep.
Exactly. It's like, thanks. But very often that's the case too. And what I find interesting is that estrogen, especially high estrogen levels, are so often also related to copper toxicity, right? So I usually look at those two factors together as well. So estrogen is definitely one of the main ones. And then what I also, for the Dutch, what is super fascinating is that they measure cortisol in the free and the metabolized state. And that gives me a really, really good insight into what the body is trying to do. Is there an inflammation that it's still trying to fight, or is it already pulling on the brakes in order to kind of protect the organs from the damage that cortisol is creating long run? So these two factors are things that I love to look at. And usually when you run, for example, an intestine, like a GI map, which is basically looking at your intestine and whether there's inflammation, whether you have pathogens or anything like that, if you have inflammation there, the cortisol pattern always coincides. And it just gives me an insight as to how long the body has been struggling with this, at what state it is, and what would be a great way to work with this client on that. So that's what I love about the Dutch. But I would really say for women, especially, it's estrogen, but also for men. I actually have a lot of men who have higher estrogen levels, which they don't like to hear, obviously, especially if you tell them the symptoms. But I can see that that is a major problem. And I find that sometimes, you know, you really have to change your lifestyle a lot around it, like what kind of hygiene products to use, what kind of cooking tools. So we go through a whole list of things that they can change additionally to natural supplementation that might help.
Yeah, and I'm curious your perspective on this, because when I have people come into my office, there's a few key things I want to understand about them. And sleep is up there in my top three. So I want to understand what people's libido is like, because libido to me is just a sign of vitality. And it's one of those like when we just break it down biologically, we're all here to reproduce. Like, that's what living beings do. So if there's an interruption to libido, I want to understand what's behind that, because it's one of those fundamental biological functions that should be in place. Mm-hmm. I want to understand what's happening with bowel movements, because eliminating waste, again, is one of these foundational physiological events. And then the third is sleep. So if you can't sleep, one, we've got a major issue. But two, when I look at these things as foundational functions of a living entity, it forces me to step back and question what the heck is going on that we as very adapted physiological beings can't cope with our environment, that sleep is being dysregulated to such an extent. Mm-hmm. So do you think sleep is like the canary in the coal mine? It's its way of alerting us to environmental pressures? Or do you think we're just overloaded in stimulation? Like, why is such a fundamental thing disrupted for so many people, in your opinion?
I think it's actually very individual. I think that you can have two people who are equally stressed, who have equal cortisol levels rushing through their body, and maybe even if you look at their lab results, they are identical, but they have different symptoms. And sleep is one of those that I think, you know, is individual. So some people might have migraines instead, or some other people might have more bowel or more intestinal issues, because my clients always have intestinal issues. It's just always, it goes hand in hand. But I think therefore sleep is so, I see sleep as a person, and it has like this essence, and it picks its people in a way, right? So some people have just like a Labrador kind of like sleep, and they can just sleep anywhere and their whole body might be messed up and they might be super stressed and their sleep is still fine. Whereas other people, even with a lot less stress, have a sleep that's like a little nervous chihuahua, and it's the first thing that goes out of the window. So that's why I think you cannot say a certain level of a certain hormone or a certain level of certain thyroid, which is also a hormone, but or certain level of inflammation is ergo affecting your sleep, because that's not how it works. It's very, very individual. And it also, the ranges are very different at when it occurs to different people or when it becomes a problem for different people. So it's logical to me that it's one of the symptoms for sure, because it's connected to everything in your body. It's interesting because research is still in its early stages. So the only thing that sleep research can say for sure is that sleeping has an arrow going to everything in you. So it's impacting everything in your body and also in the way that we process psychological things. But the other way around, what exactly is affecting your sleep is still not known. We are not exactly sure what kind of different factors are all impacting sleep, which I find super fascinating. But I think it's because sleep has a kind of soul in a way, if you see it as a person. So I like to work with it that way.
Yeah, it's so interesting. And the other thing I find about sleep is no one really knows what normal is. So exactly. All people come in, they're like, I am the best sleeper. And I'm like, okay, tell me about sleep. And they're like, I fall asleep right away. And then I wake up every day at 5 and I only sleep for 5 hours. And I'm like, have you ever charted it? Like, do we have like, what is going on? Can we like, can we just break down for a second some parameters that may help people understand whether their sleep patterns are actually healthy sleep patterns or whether they are just sleep patterns they're so used to that they think this must be normal.
Used to or think they have to keep. Yes, yeah. Lovely. So the very simple answer is that if you go to sleep and you fall asleep in between 15 to 30 minutes and you wake up and you ideally wake up naturally and you're not tired, then your sleep is good. That's it. It doesn't have anything to do with hours. And the only reason why we have those different ranges and the famous 8 hours or 7.5 hours of sleep is because studies have shown that most people show or who have no sleep complaints sleep between 4 and 5 sleep cycles. And each sleep cycle is 90 minutes. That's how we work. Our sleep is not just one big stretch of time. We go through different phases. Each phase is 3 phases, and they are all in cycles and they are connected. So when you calculate that 4 times 90 or 5 times 90, that's how you come to those famous 8 hours or 7.5 hours. Now, people who are boasting that they need less than 6 hours of sleep, those people are actually super, super rare. It's actually a genetic defect if you need less than 6 hours of sleep. And I always quote a study that was done in Fast Company, I believe, where they looked at people who were on purpose sleep deprived for 48 hours, and they looked at their cognitive function. So they had simple math tasks to do and things like that. And obviously they performed really poorly as compared to their normal cognitive performance. Now, the other group was a group that was woken up after 6 hours of sleep on purpose. And interestingly, they didn't feel any different for the first 10 days. But after the first 10 days, they still didn't think there was a difference. Their cognitive performance crashed, and they had the same change as the people who were sleep deprived for 2 days. The only big, big dangerous difference is that they didn't feel it that way. They didn't think that it affected them that way. So, and that is why I'm saying you cannot be objective about this stuff. Even if you think that you need less than 6 hours of sleep, chances are that you're actually a lot more stupid during the day than you could be. So it's not helpful. The other thing that is really getting on my nerves with this is sleep trackers, because people get so stressed about tracking their sleep. And it's like, I didn't sleep long enough because I didn't get my 7 hours or my 8 hours. And I just had a recent client who was, he was convinced I'm not sleeping enough. And I was like, well, when are you? How long are you sleeping? Well, I go to bed around 10:30 and I wake up around 7:30 a.m. And I was like, well, that's a lot of sleep, right? And it's like, well, I want to get the exact amount, you know, of 8.5 hours. And I'm like, but he was like, I'm awake for an hour each night. And I was like, well, you probably don't need as much sleep, right? So it might very well be that you're someone who only needs 7 hours. And so his first task is actually to reduce his bedtime, like to reduce the time he spends in bed. But he was really freaked out because he thought he wasn't sleeping enough. But he wasn't tired in the morning. He was perfectly awake and happy, but he was awake during the night each time because he just didn't need that much sleep. So I find when you then reduce that time in bed, sleep is then consolidating and you have that better, you know, stretch that it feels like one single stretch of sleep. So it's really important to me that people know that. It's only if you really need more than 9.5 hours of sleep and you're still tired, that's when I would go to the sleep lab to see what is going on. You might have an undiagnosed sleep apnea or something that is still leaving you tired. That is, yes, I would really go and see medically if there's something going on. But apart from that, stop stressing out about it. Stop stressing. Just stop tracking your sleep. As long as you feel fine when you wake up in the morning, you are fine.
Yeah, and I love that because sometimes people need to simplify. And I will admit, I do track my sleep. I use an app called Sleep Cycle. But for me, it's an accountability tool because I know I need to go to bed early. I have deep reverence for what sleep does. And yet I get in these zones where I'm so excited about what I'm doing at night. I just keep plowing through. And then I get to the morning. And I'm like, ugh, the last thing I want to do is get up and go to the gym. I'm in that classic, I want to go to bed early. But I self-sabotage with respect to sleep. So where I find my tracker helpful is I can go back and look at it and be like, darn it, Megan, like you've only had 6 hours sleep for the last 10 nights because of your poor decisions.
Yes.
More than anything else. So that's how I use it. But I am definitely not one who fixates or ruminates on these types of data pieces. So it works well for me. But one thing I do observe on my sleep cycle app is really the fluctuations in those cycles. So it works off of sound, which is really cool. So I don't have anything on my body and I don't have any Wi-Fi beside me. But I notice when I look at the sleep cycles that are taking place, I get into really deep sleep quite quickly. If I have had any alcohol at all, I get like one episode of deep sleep and there's very little fluctuation. Mm-hmm. And if I don't have any alcohol, I get these like a beautiful cycles. Can you just comment a little bit on the effects of alcohol on sleep? Because people go and people who are mind are racing. I hear this consistently in practice and I'm sure you do too. They're like, oh, I just have a drink before bed. If I wake up at night, I have a drink. And I'm like, you are like, don't do that. Don't do it.
No, it's exactly what you actually described from witnessing. It's alcohol. It can help you to relax, obviously, but what it does is it messes with your deep sleep, just your deep sleep. It doesn't affect your REM sleep as much, but you might be able to sleep just as long as you usually would, but you don't have as much deep sleep. And deep sleep is where all of the repairing happens. Like it's your main time in sleep where your hormones are rebalanced, where little tears and things like that are being repaired, where it's like a maintenance, you know, like if you have a car and you go to the maintenance shop in order to have your oil change and all of that stuff, all of that is happening every night in your body when you're sleeping, when you have deep sleep. So that's not happening. So you might sleep the same amount of time, but when you wake up, you will actually be a lot more tired because that repairing didn't happen. And I find I can't do it anymore because I, even now, even just with one drink or two, I get a hangover the next day, which didn't used to be the case. But so I really can't do it. And I'm just tired. I'm very, very tired when I have a drink in the evening now. So I choose my battles wisely. I do at the weekend, I might do, but I can't do it during the week. So the other thing where it's counterproductive is that it's diuretic. So it is going to make you go to the toilet. So you will probably wake up because you have to go and pee, and then falling back asleep might be even more difficult because you're also dehydrated at the same time. So it's so many negative side effects that it's really not worth it. I would really advocate of looking at how you can take a couple of moments during the day to go through your mental drawer of crap and kind of have a Marie Kondo moment there and, you know, sort mm-hmm. it out. And then you'll have that problem sorted at nighttime.
Yeah. And I just want to put one additional piece of language on repair, because I think that people are like, okay, great. My body's repairing itself. I've always been good at that. Here's a different word for repair: anti-aging.
Yeah.
So when we look at the importance of the physiological repair and regeneration that takes place during sleep, it's directly correlated to the things that all of the quote unquote anti-aging protocols also attempt to support. So one of the easiest things that you can do, I'm saying this as a clinician, is just go the heck to sleep. Like, let your body leverage the tools that it already has in place. It's way smarter than you think it is. You don't need hundreds of dollars worth of supplements. You need to go to bed. I'm actually talking to myself right now. sometimes we just need to tell ourselves what to do, but you absolutely need that sleep. And for those of you who are like, thanks, Megan, I appreciate that, but I just can't get there. Can you just take people through in a stepwise manner where you would go? Because we talked about like sorting through some of the stuff that's going on in your head mm-hmm. during the day, etc. But can you literally take us through step by step what we should be doing mm-hmm. if we can't, not only if we can't sleep, but I think to optimize our mm-hmm. our sleep and support ourselves in that way?
Yeah, so I'm a little bit, well, I don't know how much I can swear here, but I'm a little bit of a bitch in that area, right? Because I deliberately choose to work with people who want to sleep but can't. So if I have someone who's like, I can actually sleep, but it's just not a priority. Can you help? I'm like, no, you're a fucking grown up. You do your stuff, right? So that's my
protocol. I hear you, Christine.
I'm sorry. I don't have time for that. Look, I have so many people who really want to, so I'm helping them. Sorry. But here's a couple of things, though, that we can all do, which works for everyone. So obviously, one of the things is that you have to start to get to know what is triggering during the day. So whenever you feel uncomfortable, which might be a comment by someone else, it might be a deadline that has been pushed forward, it might be just a look that somebody gave you, whatever tugs at you is something that your brain wants to talk about with you, right? But usually we either don't have time or it's uncomfortable, so we don't want to acknowledge it. We just want to, okay, push it back. It's not nice. And you can do that. But I would really, if the mind monkey is your main issue, I would really schedule in some time during the day and to look at, okay, I just acknowledge this has been uncomfortable. Just see it, tell it that, okay, I can see you, thank you, and then let it go. And you will literally have taken that out of the equation for your brain to deal with. Because what happens sometimes, the way that I imagine is it, a lot of the time when we have people who have the same amount of stress but who sleep nicely, the brain takes care of it during your dreams. That's when your brain takes everything that it didn't quite understand during the day to make sense of it or to digest it. So if something negative happened to you that upset, sometimes I have people who fall into light sleep. So they go to bed and basically the brain is just a little bit early. It already starts the process. So it starts to throw all that stuff towards them. But it should actually be doing that when it's dreaming. And with those people, you know, that's when I tell them take an hour before, take moments during the day, 3-4 times where you meditate or where you just become aware and just acknowledge it and just say, yeah, I can see you. It's fine. It's like a checkbox next to it. And the brain will be, okay, good. One job less to do. The other thing that I find very helpful is to set a timer an hour before you want to go to bed. Because a lot of us, we thrive, me included, we thrive on deadlines. So whenever we get closer to a deadline, which might be our bedtime, we start to have all these creative thoughts and all these tasks that we still need to do. And we try to cram everything in 5 minutes, which is just not doable. And that's not, it's quite stressful, even if it elevates us in a way, your cortisol is making you feel a little bit high, but it's completely counterproductive for your sleep. So I suggest to take a timer or just set your watch an hour before, and it's just giving you a heads up. And it's like, you still have an hour, which is ample time to finish all your stuff and to get ready and to take your time for bed and just start that process. Because sleeping is not an on and off switch. It's like shifting gears from the highest gears to the lowest into park. And that's the time. Some of us, we're very good at shifting very quickly. Like myself, I can just go to bed whenever and I'm gone. But other people need more processing time. So that's when I'm saying take an hour. You still have ample time. Get your stuff done. Prepare for bed and enjoy it as a process.
And do you use any, I'm not asking you necessarily to put together a protocol for people, but do you use supplements to help people sleep or do you do it entirely through lifestyle?
So it really depends what I see in the labs. I actually never use that many supplements that people would expect, like GABA and melatonin and things like that. Very rarely. The supplements that I mainly use are when I see what's going on inside the gut. It's mainly what I start with. I start with probiotics. And then usually I use something like biocidin to get rid of biofilm if there's been something going on in the gut, parasites and bacteria and candida. Those are the main things. So anything that works with those, they're the different ones that I use. I very often also use something to help cortisol levels. So I've been known to use Gaia, which is mainly using ashwagandha, I think. That works pretty well with a lot of my clients. And then I also use natural supplements for the thyroid, depending. Very often, though, when we start cleaning out the gut, and when we reduce inflammation by avoiding foods that are causing inflammation, which we found out during the food sensitivity test, then very often with the help to balance cortisol, the thyroid is actually pretty good at starting to rebalance itself. So very often that is not necessary by the time we get there. Because I titrate everything, which means that I introduce every single supplement with the lowest dosage and up it one day at a time. And one supplement at a time. So it sometimes takes 2 to 3 weeks until we are actually done with all the supplements. And very often the results are already so amazing that we don't really need to use all of them, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. And I want to be clear too, for people who are listening, when I'm asking about supplementation, it is not because I want everyone to be like, I'm going to go out and try all of those supplements. Where I have seen the best success clinically is when we treat the individual who's in front of us. So it's not sort of generic sleep support that people get across the board. It's treating the root cause of the problem. And it's really circling back to the idea that sleep is a symptom of your unique health state, as opposed to this chronic thing that afflicts so many people.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You mentioned early on, Christine, I just want to circle back to this before we transition in the interview. You talked early on about gut and dealing with gut health as something that is imperative for effective sleep. Can you talk about that really quickly? Because you mentioned it in passing, but I think for some people who have digestive issues, they were probably like, oh, do tell. What the heck does that have to do with my sleeping?
It's so funny because people imagine to be in the head. And it's like, nope, sleep is connected to everything. So the gut is one of the main issues, really. So let me just walk you very simply through what is happening most of the time. Most people know that sleep is somehow connected to a hormone called melatonin. And melatonin is just a sleep trigger. It's been helping you sleep. It's literally just telling the body that it's time to sleep. But you can see the antagonist of melatonin kind of being cortisol. Cortisol is like your yippee day hormone that gives you power, that is keeping you awake, that gives you energy. And it's a good hormone to have. It's also a stress hormone. So it also helps you when you're in a stressed situation. It makes you stronger, it makes your eyesight better, it makes you smell better, it makes tons of great things. But it's not meant to be in your body over a long period of time. It's a catabolic hormone, so it breaks down things after a while. So it's just not meant to be there for over an extended period. So the other thing that cortisol does, though, it's an anti-inflammatory. And that is that's the crux of the matter. Because if we have inflammation, cortisol and also adrenaline a lot of the time come rushing in because it's their job. And in the gut, one of the main causes, if you have issues in the gut, first of all, it's very aggressive towards your intestinal lining. And what is happening is then that because of that, it is weakening you as a host, which gives ample opportunity for parasites and opportunistic bacteria to settle down. And those little buggers are nocturnal. So they will have party time around 2, 3 a.m., which means that they are creating inflammation. Hence, cortisol sees ding, ding, I have rush in, I have to have a job to do. And if you wake up around that time, you will feel like you have a buzz. So even if you are mentally completely zen, you might be a super cool Tibetan Buddha, if you have this inflammation going on, you will still feel wired. You will be exhausted. You want to sleep, but you can't. And so that's why the gut is so, so, so important, because it is literally like this, I can see it like this tingling kind of inflamed big area lighting up at nighttime. And so that's why when I help that, when we clear that out, it's not just sleep that comes back. It's so many other things. It's like the brain fog is lifted. Digestion in general is much better. A lot of the people that I work with are either constipated or bloated or have gas or just, you know, all kinds of different issues. And so that's why when we look at the gut and when we clean that up, results are very, 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 very quick.
Christine, how would you define health?
So health for me is that you are in the state that you are destined to be, which is healthy. Your body works, your mind works, you love yourself, you love your life, you feel amazing, and that for me is health.
Hey, fellow go-getters. So we've got a lot going on right now over at Anthropology Performance Labs, and I want to make sure that you guys are in the loop. We have groups and contests and quizzes and meal plans and all sorts of things that you can get your hands on. And the best place for you to be in the know is actually to ensure that you are following and hanging out and engaging over on the gram. My personal handle, which is @Dr. Megan Walker, is where most of this activity is currently taking place. And so I'm going to invite all of you to come on over and to follow and to play along. This way you can engage with our weekly guests, get direct links to some of the things that they're talking about in our show notes, and have access to some of the coolest new quizzes, ideas, and games and links that we have in the pipeline over at Anthropology. Head on over to Instagram, hit follow, and let's keep in touch. My handle over there is @Dr. Megan Walker, and let's keep the conversation happening. love that. And I think that's a great place for us to transition to the second part of the interview. And I call these our KPIs or key performance indicators. So just like we have them in our business, I believe that we have them with respect to our health and our lifestyle as well. So if you will indulge me, I've got a few rapid fire questions coming your way.
Hit me.
All right. Who is inspiring you right now?
Okay, there's this movement that's called Changemakers Global. It's a new movement. It's just started this year, and it's about, it's called Changemakers Global Unite. It's an event where especially entrepreneurs are fighting against human trafficking, against poverty. And the philosophy is that no matter how far you are in your business, you can make a change today. And I love that. So at the moment, I'm totally fired up by that. So that right now, today, that's what is inspiring me.
Great. I love that. And we're going to check that out and we'll link it up in the show notes. What is your audacious goal for the next year?
Oh, that's easy. It's twofold. It's so business-wise, it's to hit the million. That's my audacious goal. But the reason why is that it will allow me to create such a bigger impact in what I want to do, which is become a leader as an entrepreneur, as a woman, but making it very clear I don't want special recognition because I am a woman. So that's really important to me. And the second side of the medal there is that I'm very big on philanthropy in an anti-poaching movement. So that's my other big thing that can come guns blazing and really make dent in that area.
Awesome. I think I know the answer to this, but what is the one thing you are most consistent with respect to your health, other than sleep?
Every time that I stop being harsh to myself, so when this inner voice creeps up and it tries to bring me down, I stop and I tell it, stop. This is not you talking to yourself. I don't know where this voice is coming from, but that's not the way you're supposed to talk to yourself. Forgive yourself. And let's try this again. That's very important.
I like that. I like that you took a mindset approach on that. That is amazing. What is something totally badass about you that people would not otherwise know?
I don't know. I speak four languages fluently. That might be a badass thing.
That
I'm not
is
sure.
Badass. That's badass. What's your favorite color?
It changes, but at the moment it's a deep purple.
And finally, entrepreneurism. Are we born this way or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
No, we're born this way. Convinced. Yes, we're born this way.
I love it. There's three types of people who answer this question. They're like the emphatic entrepreneurs. They are the like, I became an entrepreneur out of necessity. And then there are the politicians who don't want to offend anybody, but I know they secretly have an answer. So I totally appreciate your honesty. And
You get lunch with me every time.
Yes. Yeah. No, that is, that's totally awesome. Christine Hansen, it's been a pleasure having you on the podcast. When people want to follow up with you, where can we send them to learn a little bit more about what you're up to?
Well, thank you for having me. First of all, it's been an absolute honor. I looked at your episodes and I love everything you do. So it's amazing. And when they want to get in touch with me, the easiest way is via my website, sleeplikeaboss.com. Pretty easy to remember. And I'm also inviting you to, you can always get in touch with me personally. And I know my email address is not on the website, but it's just Christine, as in French spelling. So Christine at sleeplikeaboss.com. And that gives you direct access to me. So don't hesitate to write me an email, even if it's 3 a.m. Most of my emails arrive at 3 a.m. I wonder why. And just let me know too if you need anything. And I'm here for you.
Amazing. Christine, thanks so much for your time. This was so much fun.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed our conversation and would like to hear more, head on over to Stitcher or iTunes and subscribe to the Entrepology Podcast. We would also really appreciate a quick review. When people have their health, they can change the world. Let us keep you healthy and you go change the world.